In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Welcome back to your program, Word of Life. And we still on St. Mark Gospel, chapter 14, verse 13. And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." This man carrying the pitcher was St. Mark himself, the one who wrote the Gospel. "Follow him wherever he goes in. Say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Some of the forefathers understood this story in a symbolic way, that we might follow anyone carrying the water. Carrying the water, you know, the water stands usually for the Holy Spirit. So we need to follow those who live spiritually, those leaders who are full of the Spirit, and those carrying the water for the church. We need to follow them. And by following them, they will take us to the table of Eucharist. And that's exactly what happened in the night of this Passover feast. "Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Look to the polite way Christ is just taking the permission to make the Eucharist or this feast in the house of Mary, mother of St. Mark. "Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So St. Mark and his mother were preparing and making ready everything for this Passover night, but they couldn't ask the Lord to come over. But the Lord knew their wish, and he sent his disciples to make this party on their house. "So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them. And they prepared the Passover." You know, by preparing the Passover, nowadays in our Christian language, we are preparing the table for Eucharist. And the priest, before starting the Mass, he used to pray the altar, to prepare the altar for the liturgy. "In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, 'Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me.'" So with the start of this night, Christ declared to his disciples that one of them will betray him. You know, this was a last chance for Judah to repent. Christ revealed that he knew quite well of this betrayal. And he mentioned this just to tell him, "I know everything. And please revise your situation. And remember the good days between us. And remember that I made you a great disciple. Remember that you are making miracles with my name. Remember that I love you so much, and you loved me one day." But actually, this question was accepted by the 11 apostles, but ignored by Judas himself. "One of you who eats with me will betray me." By saying "eating with me," meaning that he is a friend. He is a good guy, he is one of my team, he is very much near to me, but though he will betray me. "And they began to be sorrowful, and to say to him one by one, 'Is it I?'" Look to this, even the good apostles, they doubt themselves. John, Peter, James, all of them asked one by one, "Is it I, Lord?" So they feared of themselves, of their weaknesses, that they may betray him. But none of them was the one who is going for betrayal. And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It's one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it's written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." By saying so, this, you know, stands as a good answer for those who say that Judah was necessary for the story of crucifixion and our salvation. Actually, Christ said, "Son of Man indeed goes just as it's written of him." So with the betrayal of Judah the Iscariot, or without his betrayal, Christ was going to die on the cross as pre-planned with the hands of Judah and Romans. But Judah, with his free will, he made it and betrayed Christ and shared in this problem. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. One may ask, so why Christ let him be born, although he knew that this man will betray him and will end such a bad ending? You know, Christ is giving with his love the full free will to any of us. Christ gave Judah all his love. He chose him as one of his disciples. He gave him all the gifts, all the good time, but with his free will, he betrayed him. So the end result that Judah will end in hell by his own choice. And you know, by saying if he had never been born, that means it's much better not to be born, more than the bad ending in hell. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now this is the time of Eucharist, and Christ made it for them. Somebody may ask, how could they accept this word, "This is my body"? Why they didn't ask him, "What do you mean by this? How can we eat your body?" But when you go to the Gospel of St. John, you can see that they had such a discussion long before this night. So Christ discussed the Eucharist with the Jews in the presence of the apostles in John chapter 6. And it was a long discussion, and Christ made it repeatedly that he is going to give his body as bread eaten by his people, just to live by him, to live with him, through him, and he will live in his people by this Eucharist. And many of the Jews did not accept this revelation, and they left him away, and the Lord himself stood and asked his disciples if they like to go after them. But Saint Peter said, "No way. You are telling us the way to eternal life. You are giving us the word of eternal life. How can we leave you?" So that's simply why the apostles accept the gift of Christ at this minute, when he told them, "Just eat, this is my body." And he did not say that this is like my body. No, it's this my body. Though they can see by their eyes only the bread, but with the word of Christ himself, it's not any more simple bread, but it's the body of Christ. This is the sacramental transformation we believe as Orthodox Church. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. So they all drank from the cup of his blood, because he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Christ said many times before that he will start a new covenant with the people, not only the people of the Old Testament, but these were the Old Covenant, but with all people all over the world who believe in him as Son of God and as the only Savior. So this is the blood, this is the sign of the new covenant. This is the cup of the new covenant. So at this minute, he gave them his blood in the cup. Somebody may ask, saying, how could he give his blood before the blood was shed on the cross? This is the night, few hours before crucifixion. But simply when you say, how could he? Remember, remind yourself that he is God. He is Christ. He is the one who can do anything, anytime, anywhere, because he is simply God. So, simply this is because Christ is far, far bigger or higher than any time or any limitations. My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. What did he mean by this? You know, this means that that was the Last Supper. He will never have the Feast of Passover on earth anymore. This is one meaning of this sentence. But also, the taste of the new life is far different after crucifixion and resurrection from the taste of worshipping God before this act. So this is the new life, the new vine, the new taste of life in the New Testament. Somebody may understood this revelation that in the kingdom of heaven, we will not eat or drink physically any kind of food or water or drink, but actually we will enjoy the unity with Christ in a sacramental way forever. Again, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, this is another important point, that Christ with his disciples used to pray the psalms or the hymns common to the Jew. And by singing hymns, this means that Christ himself was singing. And this means that using hymns and psalms in prayer is a habit of the church started from Christ himself and his disciples. They went out to the Mount of Olives. As they used to, they went to spend the night at the Mount of Olives. Actually, the disciples, although Christ mentioned many times that this night will be the last one and they will come to take him to the cross, but actually disciples could not understand this and could not focus on this much, and they ignored this revelation, and they went to the Mount of Olives, and they were sleepy and thinking of, let's sleep. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So he mentioned one of the prophecies. He is the shepherd and they were the sheep. And the prophecy said, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. As you all know, the disciples left him on this night and they went scared of the Jews, and he was standing in the judgment alone. So he said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. So Christ himself declared that they cannot stand this minute. And although he knew that they loved him so much, but actually they will fall in doubts and fear. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. So he gave the promise that he will meet them in Galilee after resurrection. So just few hours before crucifixion, he told them that he will be taken by the hands of the betrayal, the hands of the Jews and Romans, and be crucified and then raised out of dead. Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." At this minute, Peter felt that he should express his emotions, and he said, "No way, I will never leave you. I will die for you. Even if they all left you, I will never leave you." And by saying so, actually, he was saying that, as if he's saying, "I'm better than them. I'm stronger than my brothers. I am the one who will defend you." So when anyone feels this kind of pride and being higher than the others, usually the grace leaves him. And that's why in few hours time he fall down into a very bad sin. "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Today and just tonight, in few hours period, Saint Peter forgot this and he denied Christ three times. So this means that although he mentioned his love by saying, "I will never leave you," or "even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be," actually he couldn't make it because he was proud of himself. But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. You know, this story will help us to remember always, do not promise God with high promises that you cannot do. Understand your weakness. Remind yourself with your defects. We cannot do much for God, although we love Him, but actually, usually we fail to fulfill our promises. He is very honest with us and always fulfilling His promises, but we cannot. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." So at that time he left and went with all the 12 to Gethsemane. This area is part of the Mount of Olives, and he used to go this place, and many nights they spent the whole night there. It's good place to have good time praying and meditating. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, but he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. You know, they were the 12, but he chose the common 3, Peter, John, and James, to be nearer to him. But even these 3, he left them to pray alone, but he asked them to stay the night praying. He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." For the first time, we hear this from our Lord Jesus Christ. He was very much sorrowful. even to death, stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Many may ask, how could the Lord Himself pray such a prayer? Why He is feeling so down, although He came to our land just for this minute? But remember that He is also a man. He feels like a man. He is in deep agony. He feels so sorry for the whole human race and for the sins of all humankind. So he said, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible. He used to speak to the Father saying, Abba. Abba is the common word of daddy, of father in their language. And this is the way he used to speak to his Father in prayer. And this is exactly the word used by St. Paul when he mentioned in his letters that we got this gift of telling our Father, Abba, you are my Father. All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. By saying so, he mentioned, he declared how much pain he feels, how much sufferings he suffers at this minute. Psychologically, he is very down. He feels very sorrowful. So he said, take this cup away from me. This means any of you have bad time, have time of pain, we need to pray. We need to cry out, please take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So it's our right to express this pain in our prayer, but we need to pray as Christ prayed, not our will, but your will. Just do, God, whatever you see. We are your sons and daughters, and we are the sons and daughters, and you are our kind Father. Your choice is always perfect. We trust you. Just do what you see, but consider our crying out, saying, take this cup away from us. Then he came and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. As you could see, he, as a man, he needed the support of his beloved friends, Peter, James, and John, but actually they were sleeping. And again, in time of suffering, don't expect much of people. People will sleep. People will think of themselves. People cannot feel all the feelings you feel. They cannot touch your heart, but prayer can do miracles. So he went blaming Simon. Are you sleeping? You are the one who said, I may die for you. But now you left me very early just to sleep, and I cry in my praying. Could you not watch 1 hour? So it's just 1 hour. He left them and they slept. They couldn't watch much. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So again, we need to remember that by sleeping and not praying, we go into temptation. And devil can conquer us and can win the game against us because we leave praying. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Though Christ was very down, but still he think in the positive way, he taught us that he could see the excuse of human being. The spirit, although willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to excuse others when they cannot stand or support us in time of suffering. Glory to God. Amen.